This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It's in the Constitution, right there near the top. Every 10 years, there's going to be a census, a counting of every person who lives in the nation. It's going to happen again in 2020, and there's a lot on the line. We got to get it right. An undercount can cost an area a lot of money, services, support, and representation. So getting this right will take a community effort. And this time there are some extra challenges, so we're talking about the Texas Counts Census effort, and you can call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, email us at thesource@tpr.org. And with us right now for this half hour, we're joined by Elizabeth Billy, Texas State Director for the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, NALEO. Also with us, George Tang, Managing Director of the Educate Texas Initiative of Communities Foundation and the co-chair of the Texas Complete Count Committee. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all. It's great to have you here. All right, so let me start off with Elizabeth Billy. So tell me what... How bad could it be? I mean, if we get a percentage off, you know, a percentage, that's not a whole lot, right?
It is. It is quite a bit when you're thinking of the state population that we have here in the state of Texas. Just 1% of undercount in the state of Texas would equate about $3 billion of funding that would come to our state. And just in the research that we've done, we can estimate that the count, you know, that percentage will probably be higher if we don't all get counted in the upcoming census.
And then it's also the issue, which population doesn't get counted and how that enters into this, right, Elizabeth?
That is correct. So there's many populations that generally, for some reason, don't tend to get counted during the decennial census, which they're generally targeted as hard-to-count communities. And these ranges from children 5 years and younger, you know, our immigrant population, low-wage families, and people with limited access, specifically with this decennial census, with limited access to the internet.
Now, it's been reported, George Tang, that the Texas legislature opted not to fund the Texas Initiative for the Census, which is unusual. They've done it in past census, and other states typically do this. And it's been reported by the Associated Press that there were lawmakers who thought it would be a bad idea because it would count many people in urban areas, and it would not favor the politics that the leadership of Texas prefers. So what kind of challenge does that make for you?
Well, certainly the state did try to have a couple of bills in this last legislative session to support the work, but none of them ended up passing. And as a result, there are a large range of resources that are needed on the ground to coordinate the activity and outreach that needs to happen, especially in these hard-to-count communities that Elizabeth was talking about. But then there's also a really critical role that the state as a whole could have played in terms of helping to align and coordinate the various efforts that were happening in different geographies across the state and helping them to ultimately connect the dots across each of our communities. And so in the absence of that, we have recognized that there is an incredibly critical role to help create and support a statewide effort that ends up bringing together stakeholders from a range of sectors and communities across the state to help create that connectivity that currently does not exist. And so certainly the ability for us to have that platform is something that we've been focused on building out over the course of the last 6 to 9 months.
And so, George, with the Dallas Complete Count Committee, Dallas, you're a big city, San Antonio's kind of a big city, other areas, they have some local resources that can pull together to try to make up for the fact that the state of Texas didn't want to do this. But I wonder about some other parts of the state that don't have a lot of local resources, particularly rural areas, and that's really going to be where we might see an undercount?
It absolutely could be an area where we see undercount. There are also regions along the Texas-Mexico border that don't have the level of resources that have been garnered in some of our larger cities like Dallas or San Antonio. And as a result, again, to help with some of that outreach and some of the resources that are needed, we've helped to create a Texas Counts pooled fund that has been in partnership with other foundations at the state level and at the national level to help direct some dollars and resourcing to communities that may not necessarily have access to those dollars and sometimes the right tools and collateral to be able to help get the word out and engage their community.
So, Elizabeth Billy, how is that going to work? Is this going to be like a bunch of government officials figuring this all out? Is this going to be a community initiative?
It is a community initiative. So this statewide Texas Count campaign, along with the Texas Count Pool Fund, is really, which is being led both by the Center for Public Policy Priorities and the Communities Foundations of Texas. The whole point of this TexasCounts.org is to really become an online connector, and it's really comprised of organizations that are rooted in these communities, from the business, health, education, government, faith-based, nonprofit, and community-based organizations such as ours.
Now, Elizabeth, there's a lot of folks out there that have some distrust of the census, particularly because there was a talk, the Trump administration had proposed putting a citizenship question on the census. That's no longer there. But that may have created an environment that people really, they say, well, I don't want to take a chance and I don't want to have anything to do with the census. How are you going to deal with that?
So the way that we've been working at Nalera Educational Fund, along with our partners and the Texas Counts Complete Count and then Complete Count Committees under the Texas Count, is to really inform all the committees and really level set and let them know that as we are talking to our community members, letting them know that this question was not added. And if there's any concerns or fears around it, that we demystified any concerns that they may have around the question and or the actual application
right.
Or form.
And George Tang, I'd like to hear more from you about that. How are you going to deal with, trying to get people to realize to trust the census?
So we really have tried to build the coalition of partners that have a deep, trusting, long-standing relationship with people in our community. So whether they be faith-based organizations or community-based organizations or schools or healthcare clinics, those are folks that oftentimes will be the connector and most trusted source of information. And so we're making sure that the information that Elizabeth was talking about ends up being available and accessible at those locations where many of our hard-to-count populations will likely turn to for guidance or advice on whether or not this work is legitimate, whether or not it will be safe for them to complete this survey, and if they should do it at all. And so that's part of the strategy that we're working on with the folks on the ground that are really the grassroots of our community.
Okay, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some practical aspects of participating in the census, how it actually works. If you've got a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about anti-vaccination skeptics and maybe stop treating them with contempt, start treating them with compassion, and maybe we can do a better job of listening to them and having them think about actually participating in the vaccinations and what's the issue there. But right now, we're talking about the Texas count and the census and why this is so important. And our phone lines are are open, 210-614-8980. Do you have any concerns? Are you not crazy about the census? Are you going to try not to be counted? Or are you going to help? Do you think this is really, really important and you want to step up and try to get more folks to be counted because this is such a big deal? So Elizabeth Billy with NALEO, with the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, were there a lot of people who didn't get counted in the last census?
Yes, we had, there was different populations that were, you know, when we did the, when people were counted, there was an overcount and then there was an undercount for a net undercount of, specifically for like young children, there was a net undercount of over 1 million children nationally, and at the state level, about 75,000 kids that were not counted, if not more. And so there's different populations in the hard-to-count community. Currently, from the research that we've done, there's about 25% of Texans living in hard-to-count areas, which means if these are hard-to-count communities that we don't reach out to, most likely they're not going to want to get counted. And this will obviously have an impact not just the next year, but over the generations to come and for the upcoming decade.
So, I mean, tell me what an hard-to-count area is.
So a hard-to-count area is an area that's generally when people start submitting their application, their forms back from the U.S. Census Bureau, and the Bureau starts to see that there's areas that generally the community is not really submitting them, mailing them back. They are generally hard-to-count communities either because they're not maybe as informed, don't have maybe that clear understanding of what the why the census matters and why do they fill this out. And so a lot of it is figuring out what, you know, what, how do we inform and educate them so that they are empowered to make this choice in the upcoming census.
So are these maybe like colonias that we have on the border or other areas of low income areas, you know, where people are distrustful of authorities, Elizabeth?
Correct. So it's a wider range, as I mentioned earlier. Some of them, it could be parents that generally feel that they don't need to add their kids. So you have a lot of undercount of young children. You have different areas throughout the state of Texas, such as the colonias, where there is a mistrust of just anything. And so they want to generally know what is this and what is this for and why does it benefit me? And then there's other areas just hard to, whether they've been impacted in the Houston region, like by Harvey. So different areas that are impacted by different social economic issues or, you know.
Like the homeless, people who actually don't have an address.
Community, correct, correct. So that's a wider range of community, our disability community, immigrant community, communities of color, communities that speak sometimes other languages and that recently immigrated to the United States that may not necessarily understand the form in English, but, you know that there's other options of completing the and filling out the form in a language of, you know, that's obviously that they will understand or how to get guidance on how to fill it out.
And George Tang, when you say you want to count everybody, you mean you really mean everybody. And there are probably people out there who are saying, well, you're not talking about me because, you know, but yeah, you mean them, right?
We do mean everyone. When we talk about the win or loss for Texas, we know that every individual is critical to the count. And if we end up missing this by, as we talked about earlier, just a percentage point, it has a huge implication on the funding resources towards what we get for the state of Texas. And then a secondary issue that matters to the state is its representation within the U.S. House of Representatives. And Texas has the opportunity to gain up to 3 seats based on where we think our current population is. But if we don't get a complete count of the individuals that reside here in Texas, that is in jeopardy.
And the people that need to be counted, they sometimes may feel like they want to live in the shadows. They don't want to be seen. So do you have folks who are skilled going into maybe homeless camps or going into areas where people don't, you know, are typically trying to keep a low profile, George Tang?
So this is something that we, again, are relying on many of our grassroots organizations that sit so close in proximity to these vulnerable populations and hard-to-count individuals. And so the work that we're doing at a state level and at a local level is to really prepare and equip those individuals and those individual organizations to be as effective as they can be in communicating the reason for why the count is important. I think there is also another part of this, which is not just to our vulnerable populations, but this is the first census where the survey will be delivered online. And so there are other issues that we're going to have to contend with, including access to broadband and the ability to understand how to complete a survey online as we go forward. So there are a whole host of complicating issues that are going to pose challenges for us, and we're just working our hardest to try and mitigate what those issues are.
Let's go to a caller, 210-614-8980, for you to join the conversation with John. And John, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Is there any, do you need any volunteers, or is there anywhere a person can volunteer to help make sure the census is correct and not undercounted?
All right, John, thank you for that call. Elizabeth Bailey, how are you all dealing with volunteers?
So we're all, I know all organizations are always interested in volunteers, but in generally, to know if there's a fair, accurate count, you would need to be working specifically for the U.S. Census Bureau. They are actually hiring throughout the state of Texas. There is a major need. So if somebody is just interested in maybe having a part-time job or really supporting the efforts of an actual accurate census count, go to the U.S. Census Bureau and apply for a job. And they are actually very flexible with the hours. They want people from the community for the community so that they are actually, when they're out in the community, they're representative of their community, and their community is more willing and interested in actually submitting the form. So I encourage you all, callers that are interested in either getting a job or supporting an accurate count, to go to the U.S. Census Bureau and go to the census jobs and find out, you know, what's available in the area.
And another caller, Michael. Michael, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you. I'm just curious, how can I make sure that I do get counted?
All right. Good question, because I think a lot of people are thinking about that right now. George Tang, how do you make sure you get counted?
So the survey will, the actual census survey will be coming out in the spring of 2020. You will end up receiving a notice and a form to be able to complete the survey online and by paper. You should be able to then mail that back, and that will enable you to be counted in the census. And then the state and then the federal system will then aggregate all of that up so that it gets tallied by the third quarter of 2020.
Now, the U.S. Census is part of the Commerce Department, and over the years, it has seen some budget cuts. It's no longer as robust as it used to be. So there is more of a dependence on the states, and also for communities like what we're doing here with in Bexar County and other counties in Texas. So this is a lot of responsibility that's falling on a local operation in order to achieve a complete count, Elizabeth. So things are different this go around than in past census.
Correct. As you mentioned, there is an underfunding of the U.S. Census Bureau as compared to other years. And so we're really working with the grassroots organizations to make sure that everybody has the resources, that it's equipped to train, doing a lot of train-the-trainer opportunities, and really leveraging as well this platform that the Texas Counts Org campaign has created to really create information, data sheets, you know, one-pagers that they can download and really start sharing them with their communities in different languages, information that they can really just pass it on to the community so that they are prepared, as George mentioned, when they start receiving flyers and information about the upcoming census and how they need to then submit their census form.
And there's only like really 8 questions or something like that that they ask at George Tang. It's just stuff like, you know, how many people live in this domicile? It's not a whole, they don't get into a lot of detail in these questions, right?
Right. It is a fairly straightforward set of questions that should be relatively easy to complete. I think there are just a host of other issues that overlay on top of that that may make it more challenging. So do you count your child that's under 5 years of age? If your child is off in college, do they actually receive a separate census form that they're supposed to complete? Do I count the individuals that are part of my individual family or part of the other folks that may be residing within your domicile? So there are some things that make it more challenging in some ways for people to understand how best to complete it, but the questions themselves are pretty straightforward.
And Elizabeth Billy, you're with the Texas, you're the Texas State Director for the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. So if people get the census and they ask them about how they identify, you know, and they say, oh, I'm Latino, is that a bubble you put in there? How does it work?
So there is about 9 questions that the U.S. Census Bureau will ask, and one of them has to do, number 7 and number 8, one is around Hispanic origin, so they will ask them if they're of Hispanic origin, and then number 8 will go into, like, what their race is, so they're able to determine what additional race.
Okay, and it can be Latino what are some of the options there?
So some of the options that could be, if they're Latino and African, you know, variations, right? Puerto Rican, if they're Dominican Republic, anywhere, you know, South America.
Okay. And what about gender?
From Mexico, yeah.
And Elizabeth, what about gender?
There, it will be a gender question.
Is it binary?
It is binary. It will continue to be binary in this decennial census.
Okay. All right. How can people really make sure that they do participate, George Tang? What should they look for?
So 2 things that they should go to. First, in their local community, there should be a city complete count committee that has been set up either by the mayor's office or the county judge. And then in cases where that is not applicable, we would direct people to texascounts.org, which is this state platform that we have been building to connect the dots across the state of Texas. Because at the end of the day, we don't win or lose as individual cities or communities. We win or lose as a state.
And should I be looking for, you said it's going to be online. So is it going to be email, or am I still going to get something in my mailbox? How does that work, George? Real quick.
You will get the census invitation by mail, by terrestrial mail, by the U.S. Postal Service, and from there you then will have a access point to get to the URL to complete the survey, or you will have a paper-based version that you can complete as well.
All right. I want to thank you, Elizabeth Billy, Texas State Director for the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, and George Tang, Managing Director of the Educate Texas Initiative of Communities Foundation. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about vaccinations and how we can talk to folks who are vaccination skeptics and whether or not we need to change framework in order we can reach some sort of understanding in that area, make some headway for public health. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.